Harvey, the economy, and the energy market. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. Hurricane, now Tropical Storm Harvey, has caused up to $190 billion in damage, according to some estimates. That would make it the costliest natural disaster in the nation's history. Diane Swonk is CEO of DS Economics. She's been assessing the potential economic impact and joins us. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
The economic impact of Harvey has only just begun. How vulnerable is this region to this kind of economic stress?
Well, it's certainly very vulnerable. I think many people have looked at it and said, listen, Houston is a lot wealthier area than New Orleans was, and they have an ability to rebuild and get things up and going again much faster than New Orleans did. That said, one, the waters haven't even receded yet, and we don't know the damages till the waters have receded and there's collateral damage to the oil industry. But more importantly, it's very expensive to build. You can't even build an affordable entry-level home because of escalating construction materials costs. We don't have the materials and the ability to rebuild in terms of the cost basis that we once did, especially in the wake of Katrina.
And you have pointed out that there is already a labor shortage in this region. And at the precise moment when that labor is going to be most needed, that shortage is going to get worse.
The labor shortages in Houston and in Texas are acute, particularly in the construction sector. In fact, construction workers have actually declined over the last year, even though they need more. And that's because much of the labor in Texas was reliant on immigrant labor, which is now disappearing. We saw in the wake of the horrible flooding, many people wouldn't even show up to get shelter because they're afraid they would be deported and arrested because of the new immigration laws.
Houston is an economic hub for the U.S. economy. I'm just wondering, is the monumental cleanup going to put a huge dent in GDP or boost it?
We'll see both. It's about 3% when you include the whole spillover areas. Houston's about 2.5%, and it's about 3% of the overall GDP of the U.S. economy. That combined with what's happening to refineries and gas prices, huge disruptions to growth. And so you'll lose a couple tenths off the current quarter. Unfortunately for Houston, that won't all be recouped. In the fourth quarter, you'll see some rebound as people start to reconstruct and rebuild and repair. But again, critical on how fast you can start to get that rebuilding going. The question is, how much can be rebuilt and how quickly?
All right. Diane Swonk, CEO of DS Economics in Chicago. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Harvey has also shut down a third of the U.S. oil refining capacity. Pavel Molchanov is an analyst at Raymond James & Associates. Pavel, what is the primary impact to the United States fuel infrastructure as it stands now?
Well, the primary impact is the outages of Gulf Coast refineries. Approximately 4 million barrels a day of Gulf Coast refining capacity is offline.
What is that going to do to gas prices, and when are we going to start seeing that?
Well, in fact, we have seen prices rise at the wholesale level earlier this week, and that will filter its way down into retail prices at the pump. Now, keep in mind, the price of oil is not the issue right now. But in fact, the price of oil actually fell after the storm because the fear is that with those refineries down, there is going to be less demand, you know, for processing crude. On the other hand, gasoline prices spiked up. So the difference, of course, is refining margins. You know, with those refineries offline, by definition, refining margins go up, and that makes its way down to the pump. You know, these effects are not long-term in nature.
You mentioned it's temporary. What is the time frame for this disruption? I mean, how long do you think this will last?
We would expect the vast majority of that 4 million barrels a day to be back in operation, you know, within weeks, let's say before the end of September. And gasoline prices, you know, should gradually come back down. It is possible that there will be some long-term disruptions if any of the refineries have sustained serious structural damage, but it's really too early to tell if that's the case.
Pavel Molchanov, Senior Vice President and Equity Research Analyst at Raymond James & Associates. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Hey,
Hey, it's David Brancaccio. We wanted to let you know that this Midday Update podcast feed will be shutting down Tuesday, September 5th. But not to worry, you can get all your morning business news by subscribing to the main Marketplace Morning Report podcast. That's where you can listen to the Midday Update and a brand new global business edition of the Morning Report that we're producing with help from our friends at the BBC World Service. Subscribe to the Marketplace Morning Report podcast so you don't miss a thing. And thank you.
In the aftermath of natural disasters like Harvey, contributions pour in to well-known relief agencies like the Red Cross and Catholic Charities. But crowdfunding is also playing a growing role on sites like GoFundMe and YouCaring. Marketplace's Amy Scott takes a look at how the rise of crowdfunding has changed disaster relief.
Maggie Bergen of Dallas, Georgia, wanted to raise money for the Houston Public Schools, where her sister works. So she set up a GoFundMe campaign.
We just wanted to find a way to help, and this seemed to be the best way to do it.
At last check, she'd raised almost $5,000. Evan Paul with the charity tracker GuideStar says donors tend to give a lot more to projects that support individuals. It's not clear if that comes at the expense of larger charities.
Hopefully, the pie overall is getting larger and we're seeing more charitable support for disaster recovery overall.
Crowdfunding comes with some risks, says Una Osili with Indiana University's School of Philanthropy.
One advantage of giving to an established nonprofit is that there's a way of verifying whether this is indeed an established organization.
Of course, even the Red Cross has come under fire for its handling of disasters in Haiti and New Orleans. Osili says donors should do their research before making any donation. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.